Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast of the Potter's House in Virginia Beach. Singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Worthy, all the earth is filled with your glory, glory. We give you glory, glory. We are a local church with a worldwide vision for winning souls, making disciples, and planting churches. We're a Pentecostal church affiliated with the Christian Fellowship Ministries. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
You join me there. I want to begin a new series of sermons that's going to be specifically for our Wednesday night services. And I really want to encourage you for the next few weeks to not miss these Wednesday night recharge services, because I'm going to be preaching from one of my favorite books over from the last 100 years, a preacher from the city of Chicago named A.W. Tozer. And he wrote an incredible book that has stood the test of time and has inspired the lives of millions of Christians over the years. The name of that book is called Pursuit of God. And I want to, I began reading that book a few weeks ago, and again, I read it several times, but I was really inspired to share some of these truths with you. And I want to begin this sermon series tonight called The Pursuit of God, because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you tonight to seek after the Lord. There is so much tonight that is dependent on your desire for more and more of God. And this book and this truth and these biblical things that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few weeks are so critical to your relationship with God and your future and your destiny in Him. Let me begin right here by asking this question tonight. What do you follow? What do you follow with your life? I can remember very clearly, before I became a missionary back in 2005, that's getting to be a long time ago. But before that time, as a young man, I used to follow sports very, very closely. Lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was a sports fan. Phoenix is a great place to live if you're a sports fan, because they have all four major sports right there in Phoenix, Arizona. So I followed the Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball. I followed the Phoenix, Arizona Cardinals. I followed the Phoenix Suns, even as depressed as it made me. I followed the Coyotes, the hockey team. And even every year in Scottsdale, there's a huge golf tournament that I would follow. And so as a sports fan, I followed the teams. I followed the players. I followed the statistics. And I could have a conversation. I'd run into another guy, a sports guy, and I could talk sports, man, because I followed it. I even listened to sports radio and listened to other people talking about sports, about who is starting this week, who's pitching, who's catching, who's playing outfield, who's going to be starting center this week. And very rarely I could let a game go by without finding out the score and the highlights of those games. And you know, I'm not here to preach against sports. There are some great things that happen in sports. But I can tell you that when I became a missionary and lived overseas in Eastern Europe for 4.5 years, I was not able to follow those sports teams in the same way. It was just impossible. There was a time difference. There was a distance difference. There was the factor of nobody follows the same sports over there. Everything is about football. We're talking about football the way the rest of the world understands it, you know, like soccer. And nobody cared about basketball, football, baseball. It was just removed from that entire culture. And so so when I came back to the United States in the year 2010, it was a marked difference. And even since that time, I've never gotten back up to speed. And even to this day, I don't follow it like I used to. There are things that we follow in this life, and Some of you, you can probably identify the things that you follow most closely. Some of us like to follow politics and drive ourselves crazy. Some of us follow the news and what's going on in the world. If you have a field of expertise, you have a job, then you need to follow the things that are changing, and you need to continue to learn and continue to grow and continue to develop your skills. If you're in school, then you're going to follow your teachers, the curriculum of the school and the classes that you're taking. Some of us like to follow the tech industry and what's the latest gadget that's coming out, the next iPhone or the next Samsung. And you know, you can spout off the details of what is the processor, the memory, the camera, and we follow these things. Some of us follow entertainment. You go to the grocery store checkout and see the latest gossip about the latest starlets that are out there. WWE, which always escapes my understanding. But see, we all follow something, don't we? We're all following something, and you can identify it tonight. The thing that causes your interest to be perked. The thing that consumes the time and the energy of your life. And what I want to say tonight is what you follow tells us about the kind of person that you are, for good or for evil. In the scripture we're going to read tonight, we're going to read about a man who followed after God. And what was the product of his life? A man who followed closely, or followed hard, as it says in the King James Version. A man who followed hard after God. I want to share this scripture with you from Psalm 63, verse 1. If you will follow what David followed in this scripture, I want to guarantee you that your life will be far better for the following. Let's read together Psalm 63, verse 1, Psalm of David. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, and here's what he says. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. While I lift up my hands in your name, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. And listen to this scripture, verse 8. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Can we say that last scripture together tonight? My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Let's pray for a moment, asking God for his blessing tonight. Lord, we come by the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, I know that in me there is nothing good. In my flesh, oh God, I know that nothing good can come. But only what is given to me from you, Lord, I pray that you would bless your people, God, with a desire to pursue and follow closely after your heart tonight. I'm praying, God, that you would stir up in your people a desire once again to follow you, to pursue you, God, to see the value in following closely after you. And I'm praying tonight that your blessing and your anointing would overshadow this service in Jesus' mighty name. God's people would say, amen. Amen. This is a sermon I've titled, Following Close. And I want to begin by speaking about the grace to follow. Because this desire that I'm speaking about tonight, the desire to pursue God, the desire to follow closely after him, not everybody has it. Nor can everybody have it. It is God's grace in the first place that we can find the desire to follow. This is a great doctrine in Christianity that the theologians would call prevenient grace. That's a word we don't use too often, but this is a biblical reality that says before you could ever seek after God, first, God has to seek after you. Prevenient grace means simply that long before you ever had a thought in your little brain about God, that He was thinking about you. Long before, even while you were yet a sinner, the Bible says, Jesus Christ came and died for the ungodly. That is prevenient grace. Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That means you didn't deserve it. That means you didn't pay for it. That means you couldn't take any credit for it. 1 John 4, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. That's prevenient grace tonight. Jesus spoke and He said this in John 6:44. No one can come to me. Say the word no one. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Prevenient grace tells us that God didn't choose you because of how handsome or how talented or how beautiful you might be, but because He is good and you don't deserve it tonight and I can't figure it out, but here's what I do know, that God reached out to you before you ever reached out to Him. And that's good tonight. That even when Adam was lost in the garden, hiding and covering his nakedness in shame, God comes out and says, Adam, where are you? God came looking for him while Adam was running and hiding. And so it is in our lives tonight that while you were running in your sin, in your shame, in your nakedness, in your unbelief, in your atheism, in your addiction, in your powerlessness, from God, listen, He came seeking for you. And what that means tonight is that you can't take any credit at all. And so let us never be deceived tonight that anything we have done has merited us salvation in the eyes of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8, this is the scripture that birthed the Protestant Reformation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so let's begin tonight by saying that this desire to pursue does not originate with you. But the path for this desire is opened up by the prevenient grace of God. And we rejoice in that doctrine tonight, in that wonderful truth. That God is seeking for us even long before we ever thought to seek for Him. But tonight, that is not the end of the story. In fact, that is the very beginning. Because when you and I enter into an eternal relationship of salvation with God, it is just like a newborn baby coming into a family for the first time. And that little baby that comes home from the hospital has no idea how to love, has no idea how to care or how to desire. All that little baby knows how to do is take. It's a good thing they're cute, because we otherwise might kick them out of our houses. How selfish they are, aren't they? And because of the great love that a parent brings to the life of a child, that child begins to grow. And as a child begins to grow, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And children begin to understand that life is not just about taking. Somebody say amen. Life does not revolve around us. Life, true life, it's biblical, spiritual life, is about what you give and not what you get. And as a child grows, as a child begins to understand, then you know, you can enter into a relationship that is both give and take. And this, beloved, this is the understanding that we must have as believers, that as we grow in our faith, we're not just here to get blessing from God. We're not just here to see what God can do for us. We're not just praying with a laundry list of needs that I have today. But we preach it all the time that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And in a relationship, beloved, there is give and there is take. In a relationship, it is not enough to know about someone, but you need to know them. That's what relationship is defined by. And that's where this desire to know God becomes so absolutely critical as we begin to grow in God. What can happen many times is that we get wound up in dead religion. Dead religion has given us a mutated, twisted version of faith that does not require a hunger or a desire to follow after him. A quote from this author, A.W. Tozer, he said, "The modern scientist has lost God amid the wonders of his world. And we Christians are in real danger of losing God amid the wonders of his word." He says, "We have almost forgotten that God is a person. And as a person, he has a personality. And he desires just as much as you do. You desire to be loved. You desire to be known. You desire to have friendships and relationships in life. So also does God. That he created us as reflections in his image." And so let me see your hand if you love to have a good relationship. You love to have a good friendship. That's why we get married, right? Because we're close to somebody. And we're best friends, and we say, "I want to spend the rest of my life with you." And that's what marriage is such a beautiful thing, because two people can come together and become one. The most dangerous position a believer can find himself in is to be filled with religious busyness, but have no desire to know God. How dangerous it could be tonight. That we fill our time and we fill our schedule and we fill our little lives with little religious deeds and have no desire to know God any more than we do today. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, lamented to the Laodicean church, and he said, "I know your works. I know you're so busy. I know you're doing so many things in my name, but you're neither cold nor hot." He said, "I wish you'd be cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, and I will vomit you out of my mouth." That is always so incredibly convicting to me, because the opposite of love, many people have this idea that the opposite of love is hatred, and it's not the case. Hate is not the opposite of love. You know what it is? Indifference. I don't care. If you ever find yourself saying to your spouse, "I don't care anymore," that's when you know love is being lost. And it is so with God tonight, that the opposite of our desire to pursue and to love God, when we find the opposite end of the spectrum, you know what it is? "I don't care anymore. I don't care. I could go to church or I could miss. Doesn't matter to me. I could read my Bible or I could skip. Doesn't matter really anymore. I could pray or I don't have to really." All the while, God and his person, his personality, he desires to know us. If God has pursued us, has God pursued you tonight? Lift your hand if God has pursued you. He has run after you. And if he has, then I tell you this. He wants you to pursue him in return. In our scripture, David's put it like this: "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. where there is no water. We just got back from our mission trip in Myanmar, and I'll tell you, it was hot. It was hot. It reminded me so much of Arizona. Hot and dry, man. It was a desert. And wow, I did a lot of sweating when I was there. A lot more than I can remember in recent memories. I sweat through my clothes a few times each day. And you know what? When you sweat that much, you get thirsty. And I can remember I was trying to stay hydrated, trying the best I could. But I'd be drinking all these liters of water. And then I was noticing, man, how come I'm not going to the bathroom? Because I'd be drinking all day. And I'm like, wow, because I was sweating it all out. But my body was thirsty for this water. And all I could think about the whole day was, I need some water. I need some water. I'm so thirsty. David said, in the same way, in a dry and thirsty land, God, I desire you. I desire you. God is a person tonight, as I mentioned. And one of the mistakes that we make as Christians, because of our sin, we're separated from him. And our sin does so many negative and wicked things, but one of the things it does is it causes us to think that I can't get close to God. I can't get really close to him because he is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so righteous, and I'm not. And that is a hindrance to us in getting close to God. You remember the Old Testament where the people, Moses is speaking to the people, and he comes down off of the mountain, and the people come to Moses and they say, Moses, this God is a little too scary for us. He said, you go up the mountain, you go talk to God for us, we're going to stay down here because God is way too scary for us. You remember that story? Many times right there. That describes the life of many Christians. Pastor, you go to the prayer meeting. You go talk to God for me because, man, all of that relationship, that talking to God, that accountability, you just do it. And we lie to ourselves saying, I'll never be close to God. I don't want to be close to God. We have to be careful. God is not just a set of dogmatic doctrines. God is not a system of values and beliefs. God is not a monument to look at or to observe. God is not some deaf, dumb idol that we bow down before. God is a person. And just like a person that you can see, just like a person that you love, maybe your family, maybe your husband, your spouse, your child, just like a person, God, he thinks. He has desires. He enjoys. He feels. He loves and suffers just like any other person would. And when God communicates with you, he uses the same avenues as any other person would. When someone speaks to you and wants to get your attention, they use your person. They use your emotions. They use your abilities that everyone else would. And so here's my question, man of God. How would your wife like it if you treated her the same way that you treat God? What if you only talked to her twice a week on Sunday and Wednesday nights? Would she appreciate that? Ladies, if you treated God the same way you treat your husband, would he be pleased with that? Maybe you have a best friend here. How many ladies, girls, you'd love to have your best friends, right? BFFs. What if you treated your BFF the same way that you treated God? And see, right there, what that exposes is our ability to be separated from God. Our ability to lose the desire that we once had to seek after him. God does not only want to be admired, he wants to be adored. God doesn't just want to be worshipped. He wants to be wanted. He doesn't want you only to learn about him. He wants you to listen to him. And the truth is, tonight, the more you pursue, the closer you follow, the more you will discover. Because our God is unsearchable. Our God is beyond ability. He is without limit. Many people have sought after God. Not one has found the end. Tozer says again, he says, "Now begins the glorious pursuit of the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of God." And that's where we begin, but no man has yet discovered the depth. There is awful and mysterious depths of the triune God. Psalm 145, verse 3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Job 11, 7, "Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find the limits of the Almighty?" Isaiah 40, 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." And so tonight what that tells us is you can raise up your level of desire to the infinite degree and you will never find the end of His riches. The end of His knowledge, the end of His grace and mercy and favor and forgiveness, you'll never find it. And that, beloved, that's why heaven is exciting. Because in heaven, when we are removed from the curse of sin, that sounds like a good day, when we are removed from the limitations of the fleshly nature, we will be able to pursue God with all of our strength and for eternity and for thousands of years and millions of years, we will continue to pursue and we will never find the end. Never. Because He is unsearchable. Isn't that exciting? That gets me excited. That makes me want to live for God, man. Paul got on this tangent, and he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." But you got it figured out already, didn't you? You put God in your little box, and you say, "Well, God couldn't do that." Yeah, I already know. I've been through this a few times already. What happens? We make that mistake of being a graduate Christian. We become the seminarian. I've graduated. I've been through a few things. And in all of your infinite wisdom, you have not scratched the surface of who God is. Oh, yeah, you've been through a few things. I'm glad. But don't let your knowledge and your experience become your idol. Rather than your reason to continue going deeper into the pursuit and the knowledge of Christ. We have this terminology in Christianity today that says, "I accepted Jesus. Yeah, I let Him come into my life. I did a good job too. I accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior." You never find that language in the Bible. And somehow, once you accept Him, that's the pinnacle of your experience of spirituality. And I don't need any more revelation. I figured it all out. And we have been snared with this idea. If I have found Him, then I no longer need to seek Him. It's a lie that keeps you bound in kindergarten Christianity. We reject the simplicity of Christ and we have to add more and more complexity. We fill our schedules with programs and methods and organization and all this activity which occupies our time but never satisfies the longing of the heart. And somehow find ourselves strangely empty even though we're busy all the time. What is that?
It's because God wants you to pursue Him, not just His activities. Pursue Him, not just ministry. Pursue Him. Are you pursuing Him tonight? Are you following close like David was? And tonight, I want to close with the promise to pursuers. Because of all the men in the Bible and all of the faithful followers that we find, men and women alike, you will find that they were never satisfied in their experience with God. They always wanted to go deeper, to find more. Jacob, he cried out, "I'll not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me." Moses, God said, "You know what, Moses? Y'all can go in ahead of me, but I'm not coming with you." Moses said, "No, no, no, God. If you're not going, we're not going. Show me your glory." David said, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee." And I tell you, God is pleased by that longing. Just as you would be pleased when someone longs to spend time with you, longs to sit and have a conversation with you. Doesn't that please you? Wouldn't that make you happy? And so it is with God. He is pleased when we will seek after Him. Desire is not everything, but without it, you'll have nothing from God. Let's close and look at the promise to the pursuers. In our scripture, it said, David said, "My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." What does it take to make it for Christ? What does it take to survive? What does it take to find your destiny? I want to tell you, you won't find it through your own strength, through your own ability, as tough and as smart as you think you are. The only way tonight that you're going to reach the goal for your life, the purpose that God has in mind for you, is if He upholds you. And the only way He does that is when we follow closely after Him. The greatest end for any Christian, the greatest goal that you could ever pursue tonight is simply this: to know God. The Lord said to Aaron, God is giving out his inheritance and His blessing to the 12 tribes. You remember the story? And God spoke to Aaron, the tribe of Levi, and He said to him, "You'll have no inheritance in the land." What about us, Lord? He said, "You'll not have no portion among them." But. Why? God says, "I am your portion. I am your inheritance among the children of Israel." And I want to tell you, they didn't get any land. They didn't get any wealth. They got nothing, but they had God. And because they did, they were the wealthiest tribe in all of Israel. They had more than all the rest put together because they had God Himself. C.S. Lewis said that he who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. The call tonight is to strip away desire for lesser things. The call tonight is to renew your desire to follow close after God. Because when we do, the promise of Scripture is that He will uphold you with His right hand. This is the promise to seekers. This is the promise to those whose desire would be kindled tonight. Isaiah 26:9. "With my soul I have desired you. By my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." He said in Psalms 37, David, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand." The secret, beloved, the secret to longevity in Christ. Listen, I am always filled with joy and expectation when the new convert, when the brand new sinner off the street comes and gets saved. We rejoice at those who are being born in Christ. But I say to you, the greater rejoicing is for those who are finishing the race, not just starting. And the secret to longevity, beloved, is desire. What do you want tonight? What are you following closely after? What is the thing that consumes your mind and your heart? Is it something from the world? It's a waste of time. If it's God and it's Him and it's His personality, then I tell you, He will uphold you with His hand. What will you get? What did I get from following so closely after the Phoenix Suns and the Arizona Diamondbacks? What did I get from that? Exactly. Heartbreak. But what do I get when I follow close after Jesus Christ? I find that He holds me in His right hand. I find that even when I fail and when I stumble and when I'm broken and cast down, that God continues to lift me up. I want to tell you tonight, your desire for God is the most important thing in your life right now. And it's not because you're so smart, you're so intelligent. It's because God has opened the avenue. And now He says, come, follow me. Follow me. This is a call to follow close tonight. Let's bow our heads and close.
Thank you again for listening. Do you want to receive updates from our church in your inbox? Make sure to sign up at our website, vbph.org. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation? Please visit our website, vbph.org, and scroll down to find the Give button at the bottom of the page. We would be so grateful for your support. Until next time, love God. And love.